Thank you, Lord. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to break your word together. Lord, I pray, God, you teach us today. Holy Spirit, teach us. Father, we just open up our hearts to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now, we are going through a series this month called The Divine Exchange, and we have some bookmarks. If you would like a bookmark that has our proclamations on it, I'm just going to raise your hand. Some got them last week, but if you are here and you would like this, this is from Derek Prince Ministries, and every month at the beginning of the month, we're studying a new theme. And we have proclamations that we are praying over and scriptures we're going over every month. So I encourage you to take those. And if you will just go ahead and put our first, there we go. These are the proclamations that are on the front of the card. And so we are going to read these proclamations of the divine exchange together. And for those of you that are guests this morning, we like to read our scriptures together. So when a scripture comes up on the PowerPoint as a congregation, we will read the word of God and declare the word of God together. Somebody say amen. 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 Okay, let's read our proclamations this morning. Jesus was punished that we might be forgiven. Jesus was wounded that we might be healed. Jesus was made sin for our sinfulness, that we might be made righteous with his righteousness. Jesus died our death, that we might receive his life. Jesus endured our poverty, that we might share his abundance. Jesus bore our shame, that we might share his glory. Jesus endured our rejection, that we might have his acceptance with the Father. Jesus was made a curse, that we might enter into the blessing. Jesus was cut off by death, that we might be joined to God eternally. Our old man was put to death in him, that the new man might come to life in us. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord, for new creatures in Christ Jesus this morning. Amen. Are you a new creature? Amen, amen. All right, this morning our focus is going to be on Jesus was made sin with our sinfulness, that we might be made righteous with his righteousness. So we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 5:21 and read this scripture together. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. Let's read that again. And this is the gospel. This is the good news, that our sins are laid on Christ and his righteousness is laid on us. And that this great exchange becomes ours, not by works, but by faith alone. So let's go to Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So at the very heart of the gospel, there is this double transaction that is made. Our sinfulness is imputed to or laid upon Jesus Christ, so that his righteousness can be put upon us. When we come to the cross, when we come to Jesus Christ and we repent of our sins, he forgives us of our sins. And you know, he does that every day. if you ask the Lord to forgive you, He will forgive you. Often we have sins of omissions, sins that we don't even realize that we did. And actually, the sacrificial system in the Old Testament was for those very things, the sins that people had omitted and didn't even realize. They were called unintentional. Sometimes we unintentionally sin. Because none of us sitting here are perfect. Amen? Amen. We all need Jesus. We all need Him to wash us. Hallelujah. With the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? I think we should sing that. Can wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let's give the Lord a praise. God doesn't negotiate with sin. God doesn't make a deal. Sin is sin. And because blood had to be shed for the forgiveness of sin, He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to be the sacrificial lamb, to die upon the cross. So that the sin of the world would be punished, imputed upon Him, laid upon Him. We can only imagine what that could have been like. But we know that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for the taking away of sin. So that we could receive the robe of righteousness. God did this to demonstrate His righteousness because, once again, God doesn't play with sin. And we shouldn't play with sin either. But we are thankful that when we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And His name is Jesus Christ. And when He died and rose again, He went to the mercy seat and He sprinkled His blood upon the mercy seat. And when He makes intercession for us, He pleads with the Father and His blood cries out, have mercy upon them, have grace upon them. Thank God for the blood. And thank God that because He lives, we can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because we know who holds the future. Life becomes worth living. You know, prior to that, life is not worth living. We think it is. But life becomes worth living because He lives and He lives in us. And we are a representation of Jesus Christ in the earth. And you hear this every week. We go out into the world to be salt and light. We go out to take the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. That He exchanged, this great exchange, He took all of our sinfulness so that we would have this robe of righteousness. Let's go to Isaiah 61:10 and let's read that passage together. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. So He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. You know, after we receive our garments of salvation, he puts this robe on us. You know, you wear a robe over something. Some of you were running around in your bathrobes this morning. And we get dressed, we come to church, we put our coats on, right? So it's a robe, it's something that goes around us. It's like a mantle. It's described in the Hebrew as a mantle. It's a loose and large garment thrown over us. So if you can imagine in the spirit, God places this mantle of righteousness upon us. And we don't see it. However, the enemy sees it. The enemy sees those garments of salvation. He sees the blood of Jesus. He sees that you have been washed in the blood. He knows that you belong to God. You see, we don't see it, but it is visible in the spirit realm. And when God looks at you, when the Father looks at you, he sees the righteousness of his Son covering you. It's like a mantle that goes over us and covers us. It adorns us. In other words, God adorns us and protects us from the enemy. And we've been studying about who the enemy is. The enemy is the world. The spirit of the world. It is our flesh. The desires of our flesh. And it is Satan and all of his demonic forces. This is the enemy that we face every day. And so this is who we want to see. The robe of righteousness. You see, I'm clothed, I'm adorned, I'm protected, I'm defended from the accusations of the enemy. Anybody get accused this week? You know, the enemy, he loves to accuse us and taunt us and tell us we're not good enough and just point out all of our mistakes. But God, say, but God. If God is for us, who can be against us? God protects us and he clothes us. I did a study in college about how God clothes us. And I titled it, The Clothes of God. And one of my professors like, what kind of paper is this? I go, well, you know, I'm a woman. I like clothes. And God makes sure that we are dressed mighty fine in the spirit. You know that. He makes sure that we got just what we need. We got just the outfit that we need for the day. Hallelujah. And it's our garments of salvation. And our robe of righteousness, because our robe of righteousness is also the breastplate of righteousness that is part of our armor. Thank God for the blood. Something to remember is God never alters the robe of righteousness to fit a man, but the man to fit the robe. So God is changing us. Amen. And when you think about a piece of fabric, and I was going to bring the robe, the mantle that I was given when I was in India teaching. And they put this beautiful, loose-fitting piece of material around me when I was at a Bible college. And it was considered like a robe of honor and a robe of respect for the person that brought the word of God to them. And so in that, you can clearly see the fibers of the fabric. And the fibers, they're vertical and they're horizontal. And vertical represents our relationship with God. And we can't wear something as a robe if it's just vertical fibers. It's not going to last long, is it? No, but that is our connection with God. God sent Jesus Christ to connect heaven to earth. God sent Jesus Christ to make a way for us so that we could come to the Father, so that we once again can connect to heaven. And it is so important to connect to our Heavenly Father, to know what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to us, to know Him personally and hear His voice every day, because every day we face situations. that we need a word from the Lord. Tell whoever you're sitting by, I need a word from the Lord. That will change everything. And it's a sure word. And when you hold on to that and you obey what God's told you to do, you know that you know God is going to provide for you and He is going to see you through. Because God never fails and God has never lost a battle. And so when we join forces with our Heavenly Father, we are joining forces with the hosts of angels and the angel armies that are sent out on our behalf, because God will move heaven and earth for you to accomplish what He has assigned you to do. He saved you for a purpose. Thank you, Jesus. And those horizontal threads in the robe represent our relationships with one another. God designed us to have relationships. He designed us to be fitly joined together. Because together, as we come together on Sunday morning, it doesn't matter who's here, but if we are determined that we are going to prepare for the Lord a place to dwell, the Spirit of the Lord shows up. That's why He said, if two or three are gathered in My name, I'm in the midst of them. But He wants us to gather. He wants us to connect. He wants us to have healthy relationships. Amen? Amen. And when God's at the center, we can do that. Let's read Jeremiah 23, 5 through 6. That's our... Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. The Lord our righteousness. There's nothing within us ourselves. We need God's righteousness imputed to us, laid upon us. And he says, a king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. I believe that God wants us to get beyond the mentality of thinking of Jesus as the little baby in the manger, or Jesus the gentle shepherd. I believe he wants us to see Jesus Christ as a warrior, as the one who defeated and disarmed principalities and powers. Amen? Because he is the soon coming king. And he will reign upon this earth. And he does execute his judgments. But he uses the saints to do that. Did you know that? We execute the judgments that are already written by praying and decreeing the word of God into our situation. The devil will try to come at us from so many angles, and his main weapon is deception. He is a deceiver. Because you see, we have all authority, but he wants you to believe you don't. You have enough to do whatever God has called you to do, but he wants you to believe there's never enough. He's a deceiver. It's like if somebody tried to rob you, okay, and they pulled a gun on you. And this is for most people. Now, Jay might approach the situation a little bit differently. But if somebody pulls a gun on you, it's usually, okay, man, okay. You know, hands up, here's my purse, whatever. But everything changes if you find out there's no bullets in that gun. You know, they're just holding you deceptively, making you think that they could shoot you. But when you find out there's no bullets in that gun, everything changes. And that's the way it is with the devil. He comes and threatens us all the time to try and make us think that he is so powerful and so mighty. Tell your neighbor, but he's not. Jesus clearly disarmed him, the scripture says. He took the gun away. He took the power away. He has no authority. And that's where we're supposed to live. That's how we can live victorious, in our thoughts, in our life. Many times the conditions around us are not lining up with what we believe the Spirit of the Lord has told us. But that doesn't mean they're not going to change. We give up too soon. We give up too soon. You've got to hold on in prayer. And it doesn't matter how many years it takes. You hold on in prayer until the Lord brings the victory. Amen? All right. We're going to do one more. And that is, Jesus died our death that we might receive his life. Thank you, Lord. And we have a few scriptures to read. We're going to start with Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. John 11:25-26, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never die. We already have eternal life. And when we pass from this life, we simply step into the next life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We will not miss a beat. People fear death. And our bishop says, I don't know why they fear death. If they die, they're with Jesus. We have eternal life. It tells us in John 17:3. Now, this is eternal life, that they know you. Amen. Amen. This is eternal life, that we intimately know our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, who he sent. Many people think that heaven is an abstract place, and when a person dies, they go to heaven and they sit on clouds and they play harps. And our bishop, Bishop Hammond, he calls that the hillbilly hobo mentality. We have eternal life. And it begins right here on this earth when God breathes his spirit into us. Just like he breathed into Adam and he became a living soul. God breathes his spirit into us. And suddenly something springs forth in our life. And we hate the things we used to do. And we have the power over sin to refuse to do those things. And we say no to them, and we're not going to do them anymore. We have that power because the Spirit of the living God, at the moment we receive him, does something completely different, and it changes the quality of our life. There are different kinds of life. When you think about a plant, plants are alive, but they're not alive in the same way that dogs are alive. And dogs are alive, but they're not alive in the same way that humans are alive. And human beings without Christ, well, they're alive, but not in the way that human beings with Christ are alive. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And when Christ comes into our lives, He gives us the best kind of life. Tell your neighbor, it's the best. Do I have any witnesses this morning that it's the best? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We inherit everything from Jesus Christ. We are heirs of salvation. Whatever we have need of, our Heavenly Father has a huge supply. This morning, let's all stand. Jesus was made sin with our righteousness that we might be made righteous with His righteousness. And Jesus died our death that we might receive His life. In closing, I want you to think about this. The scripture asks us in Mark 8:37, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? I want you to think about that just a moment. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? And I want to challenge you that every day of your life, whatever choices you are making, you are making an exchange for your soul. Every choice that you make, you are giving away the time that God has given to you. And we're not supposed to be stingy with our time. We're to give of ourselves and give of our time. I'm not talking about protecting yourself and hiding away somewhere. I'm challenging you to think about, what are you exchanging your life for when it's all said and done? I went to my cousin's funeral yesterday, and she passed away suddenly. Only 54 years old. Her family just devastated. Her 6 grandchildren sitting in front of me crying their eyes out. Broke my heart. Gone. But there were so many memories shared of how she had brought joy to people, how she had helped this person and helped that person, and the place was packed with people who were sharing how she gave of herself, what she exchanged her soul for every day, made a difference in other people's lives. So let's bow our head this morning. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this life that You've given us. Thank You, Lord, that because You live, we can face tomorrow. Thank You, Lord, that You allow us to make decisions every day on how we will spend this life. Lord, I pray that You give us Your heart for every situation, for every person that we meet, for every divine appointment. Lord, that nothing is by accident. But Lord, You have orchestrated our life every day. And God, I pray that You give us Your heart, Lord, as we go throughout our days this week. That as You connect us with people, Lord, as You connect us, Lord, they will feel Your heart. They will see the life that's in us. They will sense the robe of righteousness and the garment of salvation that we wear, the garment of hope, Lord, hope. There's hope for this world. There's hope for every person that we meet. Lord, I thank you that you help us stay focused on what your heart is and how we can serve and help others. God, remind us as we go through this week what we are giving in exchange for our souls. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And the church said,
Amen.
Amen.